Chicagoland, this is Cheeseheads in Chicagoland. It's the best podcast about the Green Bay Packers. We are coming to you from the Radio DePaul Sports Studios on State and Jackson in beautiful downtown Chicago. I'm Mike Fleischman. He is Matt Melumsetter. Hi, Matt.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Man, I'm so good. The weather has turned.
Oh.
This is my official declaration.
Oh.
Optimism.
It's so nice. I thought about not wearing a coat today. I thought, like, maybe I'll just do a long sleeve. Maybe I'll just... Did you wear a coat today?
Yeah, I wore a light little jacket.
Light little jacket.
I really believe in jackets, though, as a fashion statement.
Sure.
I could have gone
absolutely.
Maybe sweater.
Yeah. Sweatshirt, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it a little warm, toasty. It's great. It's like 55 out today in Chicago. Like, less than a week ago, I feel like we just got snow.
The sun, too.
The sun is cooking everything in the city. It's beautiful.
So, icebreaker question. We're going to do
this.
We're going to do this every week. I have like 7 of these so far.
Let's do it.
I'm collecting them. You are not a Wisconsinite, but what is the most Wisconsin that you've ever felt?
Wow. So, that's a good question. Can I include a story of when I was in Wisconsin?
Please do.
Okay. I have my car in Chicago here. I was driving it back from South Dakota. It's like an 8-9 hour drive. And I stopped in Wisconsin, in a small town in Wisconsin. I don't know where it was. Just a miscellaneous truck stop, town of about 300. And I pull over into this truck stop to fill up with gas, and I was a little bit unsure if this was a gas station because it was also a like grocery store. And the sign, larger than any of the gas numbers or anything like that, was beer, cheese, in small font below it, gas and the price of gas.
Perfect.
And I was like, this is the most Wisconsin thing that there is the price of beer and the price of cheese way above the price of gas at the gas station.
There's so many of these spots, too, where they were just selling cheese
just
in the gas stations. Or the if you drive up to Milwaukee, you pass like the Mars Cheese Castle,
mm-hmm.
where they've built a castle that just sells cheese in
wow.
it. It's not even like... It's a reputation more than it is like, oh, they make all the cheese in America. No.
No.
No, it's just not enough square acres to do that. But boy, the culture is a thing. My wife owns a shirt that has a outline of Wisconsin on it, and the caption is, Wisconsin, smell the derriere.
That's a good shirt.
It's a pretty good shirt. Most Wisconsin I've ever felt is in 2005. I moved down to Dallas, Texas, and I'm working in a kitchen down in Dallas, Texas. And at that point, I hadn't dropped the up north thing
yeah.
that I had in my voice because I had no idea that I talked like this.
Yeah.
And I was in this kitchen with a bunch of these guys from the south, and they're like, hey, can you get this thing done for me? And I'm like, oh, you betcha. And on the way out, and this guy, and this like,
you're
this
like super, Fargo.
This super rockabilly guy
yeah.
who I'm working with kind of is like, come back.
come
back. Did you just say, oh, you betcha? That's when I realized that, wow, I sound different from these guys. Okay. That's a thing that happens then. So, you betcha. Most Wisconsin I've ever felt. And that was first 4 months in Dallas, Texas that happened.
When was that?
That was 2005.
2005. Okay.
Yes.
So it was after the release of, I'm thinking they definitely heard you say that and thought of Fargo, like the Coen Brothers
I'm
movie,
sure they did.
And
yeah.
they were just like, what?
Yeah, and I wasn't trying to ape Fargo or anything. And as much as Fargo is a very concerted work to play up that accent, it is something that it is very real.
Yeah.
My folks sound a bit like that, and you know, your parents and my grandparents sound even more like
mm-hmm.
that. And it as you go north, the thing that they do with the dish gets the even thicker. It is very real. Podcast about accents.
Hey.
We're just going to talk about the Green Bay Packers as like an interlude for that. I wanted to start out because we skipped this last week. I named the episode after it, but this is episode 2. Episode 2 is entitled, We Talk About Jordy Nelson. Of course, Jordy Nelson, released by Green Bay at the beginning of the offseason. A shock to many. He is now an Oakland Raider. And just off the top, before we delve into any specifics, the Matt Melumsetter take on Jordy Nelson, the whole deal.
The whole deal. I mean, sad to see him go. One of the best receivers that I've seen in my lifetime. One of the best Packers receivers probably in history. A fantastic Packer, a fantastic teammate, a fantastic guy. In terms of the move, I'm sad to see Jordy Nelson go. I'm very happy with the move. I think it saved us a lot of cap space. I would have been interested in seeing Randall Cobb go before Jordy Nelson, but Jordy really struggled to get separation over the back half of last season, and really seemed like all of his production was coming from that intimate connection with Aaron Rodgers and not from Jordy Nelson being a great wide receiver anymore. And with that $12 million that we freed up, that's a lot of cap space that we were then able to basically switch to Jimmy Graham, who's an incredibly talented, younger tight end that I expect to have a bigger season than Jordy Nelson would have this season.
I'm very much with you. I'm of two minds. One mind is Jordy Nelson. He was a fantastic Packer, an icon.
Yes, absolutely.
In the 87 jersey, but you've turned Jordy Nelson into Jimmy Graham and Mo Wilkerson.
Yeah.
That is a fair trade. It's very much in the Demaryius Randall world of like, well, Demaryius Randall, he's pretty good, but you turned him into DeShone Kizer.
Yeah.
So that's better. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult though, and it reminds you about the business side of it, which is absolutely something that the Green Bay culture tends to stay away from, is the acknowledgement that it's a business. There's not a lot. When you remind the Green Bay fans that this is a contract-based business in which people are disposable, sometimes they can get very, very upset about it. And I'm gonna just skirt the controversy. I'm gonna put my hand around the skirt of controversy right now and say that it especially rankles people when that player getting released, when that player who's reminding you that it's a business is white.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an issue with the NFL in general is the disposableness of players, and it's Wisconsin.
We all have our jokes. I'm cynical. I like to joke that a lot of fan bases like to pick out their favorite white player,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And kind of elevate their skill level and such. With Nelson, it's not a matter of like, oh, you have to pretend he's not David Eckstein.
No, he's not. He's not Brian Scalabrine.
Yeah, he's not. He's not Cole Beasley. Yeah, he's not Cole Beasley. He's a guy who's legitimately one of the best wide receivers out there. But Green Bay has let a lot of guys go unceremoniously that have had long careers with them that have not had that kind of traction with some of the fan base, and I don't want to spend my day denigrating the Packers fan base.
Sure.
But this is just something I noticed throughout sports that I see a lot, is this idea that grit and hustle and such is frequently a comment on like, hey, this player looks like me.
Yes.
Whereas like my reminder would be like, hey, George at the corner of the bar, Jordy Nelson don't look like you, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jordy Nelson ran today. Yeah. Jordy Nelson ran this year.
Yeah, Jordy Nelson came out of college running a 4.37.
Yeah.
He didn't look like you, George.
Yeah. George came out of his truck walking walking a 17 minute 40. So,
George took 8 minutes to walk from the parking lot to the bar. George, you ain't Jordy Nelson.
George wants to know when his cheese fries are popping out of the toaster oven. So that's us talking about Jordy Nelson. I wanted to get to it from the Oakland Raiders side.
Mm-hmm.
I'm baffled by everything the Oakland Raiders are doing right now.
Sure,
not really into what's happening there.
I think the Gruden signing was absurd.
Yeah, that was the length of it.
Yeah,
is what gets to me of like this guy. There has to be more of a question mark than like, would you like a 10-year contract? There has to be more of like, are you even interested in this? Like, has the game passed you by?
Yeah. When's the last time John Gruden coached? It's like 5 or 6 years ago, right? I mean, the game has changed exponentially, not just in rules or anything like that, just in how it's played. It's moved to a lot. The game of football in the NFL has become a lot more of a passing style game and a lot more of a spread style offense game since John Gruden was last in the league. Can he adapt this Oakland Raiders team to fit that? Is he adaptable over the 10 – maybe the 10-year contract is them saying, hey, John, first 3 years, you just getting acclimated again. Then you got 7 more to go.
Well, what he is
– 7 years.
It's interesting because he does represent a stability in a franchise that is going to, of course, move to Las Vegas after I believe, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to get set up in Las Vegas. I was just in Las Vegas less than half a year ago. They love their Golden Knights.
Yeah.
they are ready for an NFL team out there. Mm-hmm. Everyone I talk to is excited about it. There's a major draw for folks to be able to come in and see all this stuff. And to know that they're going to bring a team in and be on rocky footing, but they're going to have a guy who is on the sidelines who maybe isn't great, but this team will print money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And yeah, I don't see them letting him go before they get to Las Vegas, but I think 2 or 3 years into being the Las Vegas Raiders, then it becomes very, very worthwhile to negotiate a buyout or just say like, hey, see you later, because adios. You know, it's chump change what we're paying you compared to what the revenues will be for them as a Las Vegas franchise.
Absolutely.
The Golden Knights play in a palace out there. It's a really unique situation where they play on the strip. And there's a pavilion.
Whoa.
Or just like a block off the strip.
I didn't
down
know
on
that.
The south side of the strip. The arena's down there. It's absolutely gorgeous. A huge like social hub of that area. So I think football will work about the same way.
Wow.
There. So Jordy Nelson.
See the Raiders going deep into the playoffs their first year in Las Vegas?
No, I don't think they're going to Golden Knight quite that. I want the Raiders to put it together because when you grow up watching the NFL in the era that I did, the Raiders occupied a very similar spot to the Packers in that they were a complete anomaly.
Yeah.
They had a very established culture and were the complete opposite of Green Bay. Mm-hmm. So you like that. You like those crazy guys in the face paint and and you know, they really embrace like a gladiatorial approach to fandom and football, but they just can't
get it. They just can't
together.
Be good.
No, they can't be good. And they, you know, some of the guys that they get that look like they're going to be great, it's luck.
Yeah.
You know, it is bad luck that
absolutely
some of these guys have not worked out. And of course, David Carr can't stay healthy.
David Carr's the older brother.
Yeah, his older brother.
Hey,
at least they're
showing some age.
At
here,
least
Mike.
They're related. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the NFC Central, and I will see myself out. Jordy Nelson's a Raider. That's something else. Mm-hmm. I'll be watching the Raiders a bit more than I normally do, just to see how he does out there.
Absolutely, and I don't think he'll be as good as Jordy Nelson has been, mainly because I think Jordy Nelson over the last few years of his career has relied so much on his connection with Rodgers and not necessarily separation or his hands or anything like that. He had a few big drops last season when Brett Hundley was throwing him the ball. But having Derek Carr he'll be the number two receiver next year behind Amari Cooper. I think it'll be fun to watch. I think he'll be decent. He won't be Pro Bowl level. He won't be going off the charts, but he'll be playing well.
Being able to work that back shoulder throw and be on the opposite side of the field from a guy you have to respect like Cooper, that will help him.
Yeah.
Because anytime that he sees any sort of off coverage, a short throw, he can be reliable on that. Like his hands are still fine, but it's the legs that are the question with him. So Godspeed to you, Jordy Nelson.
He's not going to burn anybody over the top like he used to. He's not going to run those deep posts and burn you 60 yards downfield. But
Godspeed to you, Jordy Nelson. Goodbye. Enjoy Oakland or Los Angeles or
the sunny weather,
the Bay Area or wherever it is they play nowadays. And enjoy Mark Davis's hair. If you get out there, could you just ask Mark Davis what's going on?
Just buy him a new haircut.
And buy
Venmo, Jordy, I'll Venmo you. Just buy him a new haircut.
Mark Davis doesn't really need anyone to lend him money for that haircut. I mean, I know a good barber. I follow my barber on Instagram. So,
wow.
I can let you know, Mark Davis, if you want to tweet at CheeseCagoland, which is our Twitter account, which I thought that flowed nicely.
It's great.
Out of the mouth at CheeseCagoland. I will let you know about my barber. You can follow them on Instagram. My barber's name is Garfield. I'm not kidding about that. He tried to give me a pompadour, but if you just don't comb it upwards, it's a fine haircut anyway. Trevor Davis got arrested for, as I wrote down in my notes, a bomb threat.
Yep.
This is, and I approach this one as like, good job, idiot. And two, you have to not listen to the voices that tell you to do antisocial things in public.
You got
to
knock off those impulsive thoughts, yeah. Trevor. What are you doing?
Yeah, you have to not pursue that voice that says like, hey, you should say something really stupid.
Hey, tell him you packed the bombs.
Yeah. Ha ha, it's a funny joke. Don't do that.
Tell the TSA you packed the bombs.
Yeah, the TSA has a good sense of humor.
They'll think this is really funny.
They're totally down for jokes and japes. They're really not. We both have a consensus on Trevor Davis of like, yeah, this guy's not very good. And good. And this is not like, I'm not taking this as proof of that because, Trevor, I hear the voices too, man.
Yeah, we all hear them.
We all hear those voices that say like, hey, you should do something real, real, real dumb. Just, you don't have to, man.
Just say no.
Yeah. Yeah. When they ask you, do you have any bombs, comma, sir? The answer you're looking for is uh-uh.
Even here's the thing. Even if you have them, you still say no. You still absolutely do not tell them that you have them. That's the craziest part about this.
Yeah, when the cop asks you like, so what have you been doing tonight?
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, there we go.
Absolutely. There's the answer. Not a damn thing.
Not even.
I don't have any bombs in my car. What are you talking about?
I haven't even breathed in like 6 days, let alone had any thoughts or done anything. So Trevor Davis, hi.
Hey, Trevor.
If you want to tweet us.
Again, tweet us at Cheese Chocolate Land.
And let me know what's happening there. I have some advice for you. And last thing before we hit a break, and I wrote this down too. I was taking notes in a sarcastic way this morning. Aaron Rodgers, : is he confused and sad? Matt, is he confused and sad?
He might be, but I don't think he is. He just bought the Bucks.
Yeah.
He just bought a big share of the Bucks. I think he's very happy with where he's at. And I think, I don't know, there's been a lot of talk of Aaron Rodgers being upset that he's not involved in player personnel decisions, stuff like that. He came out and said that he's totally fine with it and he knows his place. And he just bought a big share of the Bucks and is a huge Bucks fan and was at the playoff games and everything. I think he's chilling. I think he's happy to be in Green Bay. I think he has no plans to go anywhere else.
I think he's fine, too. And also, I don't care if he isn't fine because, I mean, as we've seen, like, a lot of these players who are given that leeway to make personnel decisions, to me, that is a sign of deep insecurity on the part of ownership and management. Like, that's a Dan Gilbert thing to do. And you don't want to be Dan Gilbert.
No.
Just in case you were wondering, do I want to be Dan Gilbert? Answer, nah. No. Pass on that. So that's very much how I see it, is that if you are in a place where you're thinking about Dan Gilberting, you're not in the place you want to be at. Packers don't need that. Aaron Rodgers doesn't need that. Mm-hmm. And this is to me a bigger thing about how the tabloid sports press interacts with Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers is, I'm pretty confident, smarter than your average NFL player.
Absolutely.
By a pretty wide margin.
Absolutely.
And as such, he has a slightly wider and more detached viewpoint on who he is, what he does, and what it means than some of these other guys. Mm-hmm. And I think more guys than we realize also have that viewpoint, but his exposure level as also being one of the greatest players in the game right now makes it a little bit more obvious to people, and I think the press just come after him for that.
Yeah, and he absolutely knows what's going to happen every time he opens his mouth. He knows absolutely what the reactions are going to be. He knows everything about it. He knows he's very good at manipulating the media, and he doesn't speak to the media very often because of the way that they've twisted his words in the past. He's a smart guy, and I don't think he has any interest in being involved with player personnel decisions. We talked about it earlier, this is a contract-based business. I mean, if a player gets involved in player acquisitions, player personnel decisions, stuff like that, it becomes much more of an emotional game than a contract-based results game. And you can't have that. You'll start Dan Gilberting and bring in 35-year-old D. Wade.
Mike Miller!
Yeah, hey, South Dakota boy. I love Mike Miller.
I like the evolution of Mike Miller. Because he went from like a guy with a sort of nondescript NBA guy appearance to like the most like scuzzed out dude.
Yeah.
With like the weird scuzzy facial hair and a bunch of very random tattoos.
Bright colored tattoos.
Like he didn't Redick.
Yeah.
Where like you've seen Redick has gone all like ripped and he's got like real tightly done sleeves of tattoos and such. He didn't Redick. Miller went more like Mike Scott.
Yes.
Where it's like, this is random. This man is disorganized.
Birdman.
Yeah.
Chris Anderson, Birdman. Chris Anderson came into the league clean man. No tats, normal hair. Left the league as a crazy person. The NBA does that to people. The NBA did it to Mike Miller.
Yeah. And LeBron James is just like, you know what we need, Dan Gilbert? We need Mike Miller. And Dan Gilbert's like, I don't know who that is. Here is the league minimum salary. And Mike Miller's like, are you kidding me?
Mike Miller's like, sure, $500,000?
Like, both my knees are broken. I literally cannot stand. And there he's getting... he's getting that, but yeah, don't Dan Gilbert.
No.
Aaron Rodgers is a cool guy. I like him a lot. He's a guy that is very much, I see him on the level of like guys like Richard Sherman, who understand so much more.
Yes.
That this is entertainment and that this is something that is in a large part stacked against players.
Oh my God! Absolutely.
And, I'm going to recommend. Have you ever heard the Pete Holmes podcast?
No,
that has Aaron Rodgers on it. It is the podcast is called "You Made It Weird"
yes.
with Pete Holmes.
My roommate's a huge Pete Holmes fan.
Pete Holmes is like such a guilty pleasure to me,
sure,
because he makes me laugh really, really hard, almost like reluctantly. Like I'm trying to like. Not do it. Like I don't want to. And there it happens. But his conversation with Aaron Rodgers is absolutely fascinating. And for Aaron, it's very much about like, hey, I realized that this wasn't. I'm paraphrasing. I realized that like football is very temporary.
Yes.
And that sort of realization. As a guy who voluntarily changed careers at 36 years old to be where I'm sitting today, like to hear another guy who's about my age sit down and be like, hey, this is temporary. We choose what we want to do. We look forward into the future. We decide on our own values. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very cool to hear a guy that you idolize for like sling ball places, do championship belt celebration. It's cool to hear that sort of thinking come out of him.
Yes, I've listened to him talk before about how he doesn't really plan on a career in football after his days of playing are done. He's talked before about how he doesn't have interest in being the front office, in being a coach, anything like that. Even though he'd be fantastic at it, he has interest beyond football. And so I don't think that Aaron Rodgers is sad or confused in Green Bay because he's limited in his personnel influence or his influence on coaching decisions, stuff like that. I think that he understands his role as a player and understands that there are bigger pieces than him in this organization.
Yeah, he's very interesting. He's not sad. He's not upset that he doesn't get to sign Mike Miller. that's the official Cheeseheads in Chicagoland post. We're going to take a quick break. Aaron Rodgers, if you in fact are sad, you can tweet at us at Cheesecagoland. I'll like DM you my phone number if you ever want to call me up. Man, just sit and chat with Aaron Rodgers.
Just say, hey, what's up? How you doing, man?
Like that phone rings and like your caller ID just says A-Rod.
And you hope it's not Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Right.
What do you mean he's not hitting the curveball well? Who is this? We're gonna take a quick break, come back on Cheeseheads in Chicagoland, talk about the NFL draft and the Green Bay Packers schedule, which we learned about this week. That's coming up. Stick right here with us. back. It's Cheeseheads in Chicagoland. It's the best podcast about the Green Bay Packers. We are on Twitter at Cheesecagoland. We have a Facebook group. It's called Cheeseheads in Chicagoland. Make sure to sign up and follow those if you like us. Stay tuned for us. We're going to keep on doing Cheeseheads in Chicagoland. It'll be a weekly thing once the season actually starts. Right now, that's too much Cheeseheads in Chicagoland because we can't be the NFL Network, Matt Malamsetter. No. What do they talk about? Because I don't have the NFL Network.
They talk about absolutely nothing. I used to be a big NFL Network watcher when I was in high school.
Okay.
I had cable television. I don't have it anymore. They talk about nothing for like 8 months.
Because I can just imagine it's just like a bunch of guys who played in the NFL sitting around and be like, who are the top 10 golfers currently on NFL rosters? Like, I don't want to know.
They play a lot of football in the studio. You watch them throw a football around in the studio sometimes.
That seems like bad TV.
Yeah, it's a lot of really bad TV. That and MLB Network, both a lot of really bad TV.
Yeah, the NFL Network should not be a year-round thing. So, yeah, Cheeseheads in Chicagoland. We'll do every 2 weeks. We are on iTunes. We're on whatever it is you get your podcasts on Android. That thing has a name, but I'm an iPhone guy, so I don't know what it is. Another icebreaker question for the second half. Have you ever been to an actual Packers game?
I've been to a number of them. I've been to Lambeau Field 3 times. I saw Packers Lions when Favre was still playing. I saw Packers Steelers when Favre was still playing. That was in, man, I want to say Packers Steelers was like 2007, and Packers Lions was like 2004, 2005, because we saw Mike Sherman was still coaching, and he crossed the street in front of us when we were trying to park, and he waved. And then I've been to, in 8th grade after they won the Super Bowl, I went to training camp, and a few years ago I went to a game in Minneapolis where they played the Vikings in the Metrodome. That was like 2011 maybe.
That's pretty fantastic. I have seen one Green Bay Packers game.
Where at? When?
At Lambeau Field.
At Lambeau Field.
This was in 2002 in December. I pulled up the exact date just now.
Wow.
Because that, of course, is 16 years ago. I was a young professional at that point. Mm-hmm. By professional, I mean I wore tie-dyed shirts and worked in a bread bakery.
There you go.
And I had a friend of mine who lived up in Green Bay who won a raffle at work and was given Green Bay Packers tickets.
Where were you living at this time?
I was living in Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee.
And this was a Sunday night game. It was December 14th, 2002 is I think the day after. So it was like December 13th, December 12th. Sunday night game against the Vikings that he won tickets for. He called me at work because he could not go. This was a like, I cannot go to this thing kind of situation.
Wow.
And that's another story in and of itself.
Sure.
That we're not going to cheesehead in Chicagoland right now. So I get this call and I'm working and he's like, do you want these two tickets? I'm like, yeah, man. Yeah, I actually do. strangely enough.
Weird.
I'm going to shock you here. Yes. And so I just called up my girlfriend, now my wife, and I was like, hey, did you know we're going to the Packers game tonight? And she's like, okay. And just, I'll get some blankets. And,
there you go.
And I get done with work. We pile into her Honda Accord,
uh-huh.
And we zip up to Green Bay, pick up the tickets, and at this point, like, I've never held a Lambeau Field ticket. I do not look at what the ticket is.
Sure.
I'm just like, cool, these are tickets. They're going to get us into the game. Super cool. And we go in, and we're 20 rows up on the 45-yard line. Yeah, man.
Unbelievable.
And Packers, Vikings, late Packers comeback, fracas after the game involving Chris Hovan starting to like get into it with Brett Favre because the Packers comeback drive was aided and abetted by a pass interference call that the Vikings generally thought was BS. Mm-hmm. And there was fines, there's a melee after the game. It was really, really something. It was frickin' cold, just bitter cold. And you know, at this point, like, I'm an incredibly poor 22-year-old baker.
Mm-hmm.
I had no Packers gear or anything. We literally went wearing the blankets on our bed.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just took the blankets off the bed, wrapped ourselves in, and went up to this Packer game. It's the only one I've seen. Sunday night, Packers Vikings back in 2002.
What a game to see.
Yeah. And, you know, I never had the heart to tell my friend what he gave up.
Did he know? Did he ever know where the seats were?
I don't think he knew where the seats were.
Oh, man.
Because he asked, like, were those seats okay? And I was like, yes, man, they were okay.
They were fine. They were pretty good.
Thank you. Thank you for asking. That's mine. I like that story.
It's a great story.
I tell that story. It becomes, you know, you tell it over and over and you start to get the timing and you start you start to mythologize yourself a little bit. But you can look it up. It's in the New York Times. There's six players got fined for their role in a fracas at the end of last Sunday night's game between the Minnesota Vikings and the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field. Antoine Edwards, Mike McKenzie, Nate Wayne of the Packers were each fined $5,000. Vikings tight ends Hunter Goodwin and Jim Kleinsasser were fined $10,000, and receiver Chris Walsh was fined $5,000.
Yeah.
The fine stemmed from the final seconds of the Packers' 26-22 victory in an emotional and at times chaotic nationally televised game in which quarterback Brett Favre led Green Bay on 2 fourth quarter touchdown drives after they had trailed by 22-13. So there you go. That was a Dante Culpepper, Brett Favre matchup.
Classic.
Oh, it's a good one. That's my memory. That's the only thing left in my memory, actually. There's nothing more up there, although I was at a good brew pub yesterday.
Do you remember the brew pub?
Have we heard about this? We know about this. I'm never going to do Jay Leno again. Jay Leno is just me doing a falsetto, apparently. I heard about this. We know about this.
You got to get the big chin.
Relax your jaw. Just sort of flop around. Hear about that? Oh, God, I'm taking this part out. Hey, the NFL draft is this weekend.
Hey, it is.
And a bunch of teams are, of course, feeling very optimistic. The Browns get to pick first.
Mm-hmm.
Who do the Browns pick first?
I think the Browns will take Sam Darnold first.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think that's a can't-miss pick for the Browns. I think if they take Josh Allen, they're going crazy. I think Josh Rosen wouldn't fit in Cleveland, even though I think he's the best prospect. I think Darnold is number one quarterback prospect. Browns need a quarterback. Contradicted myself. I think Rosen is the number one quarterback prospect. I think Darnold is the best fit for Cleveland.
There, I got you.
Did I clear myself up?
Yeah, okay, you got that. Is there any way that anyone can succeed in Cleveland right now? Is Cleveland actually turning it around?
I said they were turning around last year. I said they were going to go 8-8 last season, and they went 0-16. So take my feelings with an absolute grain of salt,
because
I think Cleveland's always on the verge of being good. I think they have a great defense that's only gotten better. I think they have so many good draft picks that they should solidify all of their holes. But man, who the hell knows? I mean, as long as they got Hugh Jackson coaching, they might go. They're 1-31 with Hugh Jackson. I mean, as long as he's still there, they might go 1-47?
Yeah. Can they build with being the place that no one wants to be? Can you build? I mean, you can build an NFL team through the draft more than you can build other teams through the draft. But like, can they become the 76ers of the NFL of like trusting the process?
I mean, I would love to see that. The only difference, I mean, between Browns and 76ers, I think the Browns have always tried to win. They just have always put themselves in a terrible position and chosen bad players and signed people to bad contracts and everything. I mean, no one wants to go to the Browns in free agency. And so they have to build through the draft, very similar to the Green Bay Packers. I mean, historically, no one wants to come to Green Bay for free agency. We've had to build through the draft. It's a possible thing, and I hope they can do it, but who knows if they actually will.
Yeah, I enjoy watching the Browns fail. I don't know.
Sure.
I don't even dislike Cleveland. I've actually never been to Cleveland, and you know, for the rest of like the Cleveland teams, it's such a blank slate sort of doesn't move the needle for me at all. Like, oh, the Cleveland Indians, they should probably change their name because that's mad racist.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the Cleveland Cavaliers, LeBron James and a bunch of players that really don't move my needle play there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool.
LeBron James and a bunch of his pals.
Yeah, LeBron James and his pals. And, you know, boy, he's good. NBA chat just for a minute. The Green Bay Packers, of course, that's what the podcast is about. They pick at 14.
Mm-hmm.
And most places that you read have it run down. Packers are going to pick, based on need, 1, 2, 3, they're going to go defensive backfield, pass rusher, wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to get your feelings on this. Is everyone right about this, or do you see something else for Green Bay?
I think we'll go edge rusher first round. I think most likely we'll see an edge rusher first round. Second round, I would like to see cornerback if hopefully Isaiah Oliver is still available out of Colorado. He's got unbelievable measurables. He fits all of our our height requirements, speed requirements, everything like that. He doesn't meet our three cone, so he's not as explosively quick as we typically look for guys to be. But he's got size, he's got strength, he's fast as hell in a straight line. He ran a 4.5 40. I would love to see us take him in the second round. I would like to see Harold Landry in the first round as an edge rusher, and wide receiver possibly in the third round. I think if Cortland Sutton drops into the second round, we could see the Green Bay Packers scoop up a wide receiver in the second round as well.
So you're off words. You are not in line with all the mock drafts that I've been clicking on and reading. All of them have defensive back in the first round. I tend to think that if you're looking at what the Packers are doing, cornerback and edge rusher are equally important. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's much more of a throw up of like, who can you get in that first round? Does someone fall or not?
Yes.
And that to me is like, if who in the defensive backfield would you take over an edge rusher in the first round if they're available?
I would take Minka Fitzpatrick if he drafts. I believe it was CBS's mock draft had him falling to 14.
Mm-hmm.
I would lose my mind if we drafted Minka Fitzpatrick. I think he's stellar and immediately fills into the void that Morgan Burnett left. I think Derwin James is the other defensive back that I've seen slip to us. I think he's typically rated at like 8 to 10, but I've seen a few drafts. He drops back to us. He's a strong safety out of Florida State who can step up, play that linebacker role. Very similar kind of in his skill set to a Josh Jones. However, mm-hmm. I would really like to see Josh Jones play a little bit more like weak side linebacker. He's a little small, but he's an exceptional tackler. He's all over the field. Outside of that, the only other first round defensive back that I love that will be available, I'm assuming Denzel Ward is off the board already.
Of people have him going to the Bears.
Going to the Bears at 8, yeah. He would be a good fit for the Bears. The only other defensive back I think that is a first-round talent is Josh Jackson out of Iowa. I really love Josh Jackson's ball skills, his size, his speed, everything about him. I love Josh Jackson. I would not be upset with any of those three defensive back picks at 14 for the Green Bay Packers, but I really think we'll probably go edge first round.
And if you're looking into the second round, if we go edge in the first round,
mm-hmm.
yeah, who's there in the second round? I know you mentioned someone, but kind of give me a rundown of who you might like in the second round there.
In the second round, I've got Isaiah Oliver's kind of my top defensive back in the second round. He's a cornerback, boundary corner. He's 6 foot, 2 inches, 201 pounds, ran a 4.5. He fits almost all of our measurables, all of our size things. Mike Hughes is a guy that we had a meeting with. Had one of our pre-draft meetings/visits, and it's interesting. Thompson has always used his pre-draft meetings to meet with guys that would be undrafted free agents and stuff like that, guys that are going to be going in the late rounds. Excuse me. Gutekunst has used almost all of his pre-draft visits on like early draft first and second round talents, and he met with Mike Hughes earlier. I really love Mike Hughes out of Central Florida. Dante Jackson out of LSU is another one that's a second round talent. He ran a 4.3 140. He's just he's lightning quick. He's a little bit small. He's 5'10 and like 180 pounds, 178, 180 pounds, but he's lightning fast, lightning quick, explosive, could just dominate as like a trail cover guy in like a press man coverage like Petten loves to run. In the third round, I really like Isaac Yiadom out of Boston College and Holton Hill out of Texas. Those are the other two that I really like.
Size is becoming something that you really value in defensive backs these days more than you used to.
Because mm-hmm.
looking at a lot of these guys, Isaiah Oliver is 6'2".
Yeah.
Who is it there? There he is. Derwin James, 6'3", 212. Yeah. These guys are gigantic.
Just big guys. And Josh Jones playing safety for mm-hmm. us last year, 6'2", 220 pounds. I mean, these are big dudes.
That used to be the sort of player that would immediately get tried tried to get slotted into either a wide receiver skill position or somewhere else on the field, or maybe even be a linebacker.
Yeah.
More, you know, a decade and a half ago. But absolutely, these days they are secondary guys, and I really like the evolution of I think Troy Polamalu is the first guy who did it proficiently that you know, we've seen Morgan Burnett do it now, and we've seen, you know, guys like the Honey Badger do it to less effectively, but that, yes, that close to the box safety in the modern NFL and using it as a counter to passing based offenses as opposed to using it as an old fashioned, like, this is how we stop Bo Jackson kind of philosophy. This has really changed how defensive backs are looked at and what is valued in their physical attributes.
Absolutely. The three cone drill has become kind of a big it's a big measurement for explosiveness and how they turn their hips. How a cornerback turns their hips is so essential to their coverage skills. Even there's so much that can be taught in the NFL. So much of a cornerback's ball skills, how a cornerback plays a man, everything like that can be coached. What can't be coached is this explosiveness and this ability to be agile in the hips. And that's very easily measured in three-cone drills, in these sprints, in these numbers and measurements and all that. I mean, Kevin King, our pick last year, 6'3", ran the 40 in 4.43 seconds. I mean, the Packers have been shifting more and more to big boundary corners, and I there's a lot of guys that fit that.
Yeah, it's
those measurements in the second round.
To me, that's the biggest position of need. I was surprised to hear you say edge rusher right now, because there are guys you like the front three right now of Clark Daniels and Muhammad Wilkerson. I like Nick Perry. I like Clay Matthews for 65% of what they pay him right now.
Yeah.
But he's there, so you got to like him. And I feel as though there are more questions in the defensive backfield for me than there are on the line right now, because guys, when Vince Beagle was getting healthy at the end of last year, he didn't look awful.
Yeah.
So to me, the bigger questions are in the defensive backfield, particularly because I don't trust Tremont Williams to make much of an impact this year. If you have to play him more than 35% of the defensive snaps a game, if he's being asked to do that or more, I think you're in trouble. So that NFL ready athlete,
yes,
is I think why you go in the first round there. But edge rusher, kind of let me know what do you see in the first round edge rusher that you don't get in the second or third round?
I think there's a lot of really good deep edge rushers in this class. I just think that the top tier, the Tremaine Edmonds, Harold Landry, Marcus Davenport, I'm not a big Leighton Vander Esch guy, but those three, I just think all three of them are can't miss prospects. And if they're on our board, I can't see us passing that up. Is Clay Matthews is good, but he's good for 65% of what we pay him and on 50% of snaps. Uh-huh. He's just not able to go every down anymore. And same with Nick Perry. Is Nick Perry's always hurt, and when he's on the field, he just needs to be used in spurts. So while we have this dominating defensive line, or we hope to see a dominating defensive line, I would love to see one more freak athlete rushing the passer, because Mike Pettine's been able to be fine with decent to average cornerbacks, but he needs a pass rush. So if we can solidify that pass rush, I think Mike Pettine can work around our average cornerbacks. Plus, I just think there's a lot of depth in this cornerback class where there isn't necessarily as much top-end talent that's going to be available at 14.
All right, looking forward to the fourth and fifth round. I believe there's two picks in each of those rounds. Someone can fact-check me on that one. But who is down there? Who do you like in those later rounds? Who do you think could be a real surprise that maybe we haven't heard of or won't hear about, but that you'd like to see come into Lambeau Field this year?
Third and fourth and fifth rounds?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, late round sleeper picks.
Late round sleeper picks. I really love Mike Ford out of Southeast Missouri State.
That's a college, apparently.
I've never heard of it. I've watched a little bit of his tape, and I've looked at his measurables. His measurables are just off the charts crazy. He's projected to be late sixth, seventh, potentially undrafted. I think he's someone that we will bring in, and someone that I'd really like to see. He fits our height threshold. He's 5'10 and a half. He fits our weight threshold. He's 190. He ran a 4.47 40, and he ran a 6.85 three cone, which is just off the charts. He's a physical. I really like Mike Ford in the back end. Wide receivers wise, I would be interested in a where'd he go? Alan Lazard out of Iowa State in the fifth round. Ran a 4.56. I think we're gonna be looking for a few burners, like a Deion Kane out of Clemson, which might be around 3-4 a little bit earlier, but he's a deep burner. I think we're gonna be looking for somebody like that in kind of those mid range rounds, kind of just take a flyer pick on a super athlete.
For me, it's always fun to watch the later rounds of the draft, because things get unpredictable, and that's where some of the crazier stories are,
mm-hmm.
and that's where sometimes you end up with those fan favorite stories, and of course there are a lot of undrafted guys. The Packers love undrafted free agents.
Packers love undrafted free agents. I love the late rounds because I know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You watch the late rounds. Anything past about round two or three, crapshoot. Anybody can go anywhere. Anyone can not get picked. Anything past that is just a crapshoot. And so, I don't know. I always find it so interesting to watch.
Speaking of crapshoots, final question about the draft. If the draft doesn't play out quite the way we think it's going to, and if some of these skill players that we think are going top 10 fall to 14,
mm-hmm.
is there anyone that you'd take outside of like a very defense, pass rush, cornerback-oriented draft for the Packers? Is there any of these other guys that if they fall, who do you draft if they're there?
Oh, man. I mean, I'm big on Calvin Ridley. I love Calvin Ridley. I don't think we'd take him, but that's one that if I'm Gutekunst, I give myself a little pause before I send in my Harold Landry or Josh Jackson pick, as I think, ooh, Calvin Ridley. Just an exceptional route runner. Calvin Ridley, exceptional route runner, great hands, good speed, quick, just a solid, capable wide receiver that reminds me a lot of Davante Adams coming out of college. And while I didn't love Davante Adams in his first few years in Green Bay, he's developed into a absolutely stellar player. And if we could get a second one of those, hey, love it.
That's interesting. What was it about Adams that you didn't like in the first couple of years? Hands? Okay,
hands.
Sure.
Absolutely the hands.
All right.
Every ball that went to Davante Adams, it was a 50-50 to me. It was a coin flip every time.
He could make an adventure every once in a while.
Oh, God, yeah.
One of my earliest tweets, this is a show where I talk about my tweets.
Yeah.
Help me, Lord. one of my earliest tweets was, we need a name for a receiver who makes those amazing catches, those one-handed, falling out of bounds, bobbling catches look like the easiest thing in the world, and makes the routine, hands outstretched in front of the numbers, easy catches look real hard.
Yeah.
And it was because I watched a very, very Davante Adams-ish Davante Adams performance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what do we call these guys who do this? Because, some of the routine plays were adventures, but to me, it was that X factor of like, okay, this guy can one hand a ball falling over backwards while going out of bounds and still tap his toes. Like the routine stuff will probably get easier.
The routine
because
stuff
the
can
absurd
be
stuff is there already.
Yeah, you can't coach the absurd stuff. You can't teach the crazy instincts. You can't teach stuff like that. You can teach a guy to catch. You can teach a guy to run routes. You can teach a guy to do that stuff. The absurd stuff, absolutely not.
Yeah, and he's become one of my favorite wide receivers. Possibly my favorite Packer of all time, and my favorite Packers wide receiver is Donald Driver.
Absolutely, yeah, of course.
And to me, like, Davante Adams, of course, doesn't have Donald Driver's personality, in the specifics.
Mm-hmm.
Driver, of course, a very, very distinct personality. But Davante Adams has a combination of, like sort of an outgoing, friendly exterior, but he's got a huge chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And that's so neat. It's so nice to see. Like this is a guy who, he gives a shit about what's going on.
Yeah. He's so mad that I hated him for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
He's mad at me individually. Because I was
You doubted him.
I doubted him and I was upset with that draft pick. I'm sure I tweeted about it.
When he took that shot against the Bears last year from Trevathan. Like, he was out on Twitter, like, just
yeah,
just
the next like, day calling people out.
Yeah, just calling people out on Twitter. I was retweeting that. Yeah, I was just like, pour me another like large 16-ounce helping of that kind of attitude, because it's real. Like, yeah, he's telling the truth. Like, nothing that he tweeted was at
he
all
needed
like
to be protected.
Based
That's
in
ridiculous.
Anger. You know, it's not anger, it's not unprofessional, but it's like, hey, for real, listen to me right now as I say these things. And like, yeah, he plays like that too.
Yeah.
He plays like he talks. It's
he deserves to be listened
there's
to.
A consistency.
Yes.
And yeah, I've been a big fan of Davante Adams since he got there. I'm glad he won you over.
Yes. Oh my god.
We need to see
eye
to eye.
I'm a big Davante Adams supporter now. It took me a few years. I had to warm up to him, but man, he's something to watch now.
All right, final order of business here on Cheeseheads in Chicagoland. The schedule has come out. It's in one of these browser tabs that I have open. There it is. And we're going to talk about the just because it came out, not because it's coming up anytime soon. But, you know, September 9th is closer than we think.
Yeah.
First 4 weeks is what I want to talk about here.
Absolutely.
Week one, Bears at home Sunday night on NBC. Happy for a couple of reasons. I get to listen to my absolute favorite game caller in football, Al Michaels.
Al Michaels is great.
And I get to watch Packers-Bears Sunday night game. Sunday nights are a very, very special time for me. And this is a nice narrative game because the NFC North this year, we are here in the loop in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing a lot of Bears optimism.
Yeah.
From people, and this is a very, very early game to in my hopes destroy the narrative of the Bears' optimism. You know, meanwhile, the Bears fans have to be thinking like, yeah, this is an early season. Like, if you catch them unaware,
yeah.
If you come up to Lambeau and if you come up to Lambeau and hit them quickly and knock them down and come out with a win in week one. All of a sudden, you've got most of the NFL pundit class and the 17 guys who are paid to sit around on the NFL Network set and throw a football talking about the Bears as if they're for real in the first week of the season. That could be a huge game.
Yeah, I expect the Packers to win. I think the Packers
Same.
Will win, I think, handily. I don't think the Bears are quite there yet. They don't have anywhere near enough receiving talent around Trubisky yet. They're just not a talented enough offensive team, but it'll be fun to watch. It'll be good to see Aaron Rodgers back on the field. It'll be good to see a Packers throttling of the Bears. It's at home. I don't know.
Week two, also at home versus the Vikings. That's just a regular Sunday day game. Noon game on Fox. Another big one. I have the Vikings picked to win the NFC North this year. I think they go 12-4 and win.
Yeah. I mean, they're... The addition of Kirk Cousins makes this Vikings team, I think, the immediate Super Bowl favorite to me. This is not just a stellar defense with a capable offense. This is now a stellar defense with an absolutely with an offense that could pop off every week.
Yeah, these guys are fantastic. They have made some of the smartest signings that I've seen, and they have it at every level. I could not believe their McKinnon Murray backfield tandem, and they went
Came
to that,
together.
Yeah, and they went to that after an injury. Like that was what they had waiting in the wings.
Yeah,
like who is signing these guys up there? Because he's smart.
They have a few more years before that defense collapses and everybody wants their huge contracts.
Uh-huh.
But those next few years are going to be scary.
Everson Griffin might be my favorite non-Packer in the league right now. I like the way he plays.
Yeah,
I like his deal. I evaluate based on my emotions.
Sure. Hey, that's fair enough. That's how I do it.
I'm an emotional man, and I see a lot of the Vikings, and you know, I'm a partisan, like all partisans, but there's just something about like, oh, he's cool.
He's good.
Yeah, he's cool. He's good. Yeah, it was Polamalu for a long time on the Steelers. I mentioned him earlier in the game. I was always a huge Randy Moss fan as well. Like, these are emotional picks for me. Part of it is like, do you piss off the squares a little bit? Because if you do, like I have an anti-authority streak running through me that, you know, it's not obvious these days because I'm elderly. Mm-hmm. You know, my AARP card arrived, but like the anti-authority streak helps me there. First away game is the Redskins at week three. that Redskins, I don't think they ever climbed the hill. I think they fell back down.
Yep, I think they just got worse. Getting rid of Kirk Cousins, adding Alex Smith, I think we win that game pretty easy. Washington's defense isn't anything exceptional. Washington's offense isn't anything exceptional. Alex Smith makes them, I think, a step worse than they were last season. I think Packers will win that game pretty easy.
Bills on September 30th is week 4. That game is and one that you probably don't want to look past.
Sure.
Although Buffalo is, I listen to Joe Lorendi talk about Buffalo a lot.
Yeah.
Former Radio DePaul Sports legend Joe Lorendi loves the Buffalo Bills. So I get a lot of Bills optimism. And then week 5, Lions. Week 6, 49ers. The bye comes in week 7. That's a nice, sensible week to have a bye.
That's a good week.
That's the early schedule. We will get to the rest of the schedule coming up further on Cheeseheads in Chicagoland. That's going to do it for this week. Of course, the draft is this weekend. We'll be going through it. We'll come back and talk about the draft. I think we'll have to talk about the draft probably end of next week.
Yeah.
And get another one up to get some rapid reactions to this. So we'll get another episode up about the draft recap. As that's happening, I want to let you all know that I made an email address if you really need to send us email. I mean, email's like old-fashioned these days.
Yeah,
it's
practically snail mail.
It's like walking into a house and seeing that they have like a White Pages phone book.
Mm-hmm. There, Twitter DMs are the new email.
Yeah, that's... But it is cheeseheadsinchicagoland@gmail.com is where you can email us. We are, of course, on Twitter at cheesecagoland. We have a Facebook group. It's called Cheeseheads in Chicagoland. Make sure to like it or whatever it is you do to those. I don't actually know
a Facebook person.
what it is you do for those.
I almost posted under the Cheeseheads in Chicagoland Facebook thing on like one of my own posts because I know so little about how Facebook works.
That would have been okay.
That I almost responded to somebody as our business page. I caught myself.
This is not a business.
It's business page.
But I have either good news or bad news. Depending on how you're feeling about it. I am personally on Twitter at MP Fleischman, MPFLEISCHMAN.
Read the cover on the podcast and you'll be able to spell it.
Yes. The cover art's good. We put up some cover art. I want to say thank you to my wife Amy Peter for doing our cover art. She is a Photoshop wizard.
Mm-hmm.
I freely admit that I have actually worked my way into the good graces of one of my bosses right now because he thinks I'm good at Photoshop.
Don't show him this.
Hi, Mike. How you doing? he knows that I'm getting help, but I am learning along the way. But yeah, thank you very much, Amy, for helping us out with our cool logo. Where can they find you, Matt Melumsetter?
You can find me on Twitter at Melumsetter. It's the at symbol, MELEMSETER. As I said for Mike, look at look at Amy's wonderful cover and you'll see how to spell my name. You can follow me on Instagram, I guess, at Matt Melumsetter. That's a lot less business than my Twitter is. But I will be doing a live draft special on the day of the draft as the first round for Radio DePaul Sports. We will be live streaming on Facebook as well as streaming on the Radio DePaul Sports application and on the Radio DePaul Sports website, radiodepaulsports.com. You can listen in, tune in there. Me and Charlie Bevins, who's a Bears fan, will talk about all of the first-round draft picks live as they happen on Thursday from 4 to 8, I think it is. So tune in.
Sounds fantastic. We'll be back to recap it all once it's all done with and once we can find the time to get back in here into the beautiful new studios in the loop for Radio DePaul Sports. I want to say thank you to Radio DePaul Sports for letting us do our work in here as well. We'll be back. Until then, he's Matt Melumsetter.
Hey.
I'm Mike Fleischman. What do we tell him?
I don't know. What do we tell him?
Well, last week we told him to stay cheesy.
Oh,
I don't know if I don't know if I'm completely sold on that one.
Stay cheesy, baby.
All right, we're gonna buy it again for another week. For Matt Melumsetter, I'm Mike Fleischman. Stay cheesy, baby.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.